Now, friends, I forgot to tell you something in this story about Abraham. You know, I was telling it to you the other day, and I forgot one really important point that is fascinating. It's laughable, and I can't believe that I forgot it. Here's a quiz. Do you know what it is? Do you remember what I forgot? Okay, well, anyway, we'll find out. Colin Cook here and How It Happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on the grace of God, the good news about our Heavenly Father, the good news about Jesus, the fact that we have been given a window into God's heart. We have been given eternal life through His Son. And we learn by this great truth how then to intercept our struggles with alcohol, drugs, food issues, heterohomosexual desires. We learn how to intercept those struggles, if we have an addiction in relation to them, by faith. And even if you don't have struggles like that, my friend, every human being is addicted because humanity is in a state of escape from pain. So we are looking at how we deal with this as we use our faith in the good news about Jesus Christ. All right, now then, what did I forget, do you know? Well, I gave you a clue when I said it's almost laughable. Remember, God told Abraham at 25 that he would have a child. Go out into a country that I will tell you of, and I will make of you a great nation. And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham goes to the drawing board and he starts this intimacy with his wife all over again. You know, they were not going to have a child, but prior to that time, because Sarah was barren. I won't go through the whole story again, but 10 years happen, 5 years go by, 10 years. He tries to force the promise by having intercourse with Hagar, his housemaiden. She creates a child, they produce a child, but it isn't the one. And God comes back and says, you'll have a child. And he tries again with his wife Sarah. 15 years go by, 20 years go by, 21, 22, 23, 24. Now you remember, Abraham must have come to the place where he decided it was hopeless. How do I know that? Because it says in verse 18 of Romans chapter 4, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed. And that is translated in the New English Bible as against all hope, in hope he believed. He'd come to the place where he had accepted that this would have to be a miracle. His body was as good as dead. Sarah also as good as dead. And I would imagine that dear Abraham must have said, this is hopeless. If this ever is to happen, it must be by a miracle. And it's as if God had waited for 24 years for Abraham to say that, to bring his faith to that point. And God tells him to change his name from Abram to Abraham. You remember I told you that yesterday? Abram meaning Lord, Abraham meaning father of a multitude. And here is Abraham changing his name to a father of a multitude when he doesn't have any children. The neighbors must have thought he was mad. He'd off his rocker. But you see, this is in harmony with what we see here, where in verse 17, God gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. This is all by review now. You remember I told you this. So God is calling Abraham, a father of a multitude, and that reality does not exist. But God knows it does. In God's mind, it's completed. Because God is the creator of all things. He brings things out of nothing. And that's what you and I need to believe in our lives. Now then, do you think Abraham just sat around? Well, no, I doubt it. I think Abraham would probably have gone into his wife again and made love. Now this is what I forgot to tell you about the other day. Now listen, I think it's just beautiful. I imagine that Abraham makes love and rolls over and laughs. Yeah, I'm being serious. Laughs. Because he's thinking about what a marvelous rise God is going to get out of humanity when this happens. Now, I didn't make that up about Abraham laughing. Abraham laughed, and God didn't rebuke him. But Sarah laughed, and God did rebuke her. Why? Because Sarah was laughing at God, saying, "This whole business is ridiculous." That's my guess. But Abraham was not laughing at God. He was laughing with God and thinking, God's going to get a marvelous rise out of humanity when this happens. And what do you think they called that child? Isaac, which means what? Laughter. Laughter. Now, it's fascinating to me that the three patriarchs that God names himself after are Abraham, father of a multitude, Isaac, laughter, and Jacob, called Israel, who wrestled with God and won. Now, my friend, why did I forget that? I mean, I've been telling this story for decades. Why did I forget it? I have a clue. I'm losing my joy. Life gets harder the older you get. Heavy worries and struggles and difficulties. And it occurred to me only, I don't think I'll tell you this event, it is almost too silly, but an event happened yesterday that was absurd. I couldn't find my cell phone. I was looking for it all over the place. And I was visiting my ex-wife. I was giving her something that she had requested. And I said, "I can't find my cell phone. Did I leave it in your office?" She said, "No." She looked and she said, "It's not here." I said, "Well, it may be in the car." And I went to the car and it wasn't there. And I came back to the office later. And she said, "Well, let me ring it. What's the number?" I said, "You know, I don't know. It's a fairly new phone, about 2 months old. I don't know the number." She said, "Oh, I've got it on mine." So she rang it. And I said, "Oh, it's here. It's ringing." And I said, "I can't believe it's ringing." And so we're going through my pockets and every single pocket, and I could not find my cell phone. And it was ringing. And another woman was there with Sharon, and she just happened, and she was checking my pockets too. And she happened to grab my arm. And that cell phone was in between my arm and my shirt. And it couldn't slip down through my shirt because it couldn't get past the wrist. Anyway, and the story's too long to tell you how in the world it got there, but I left that place thinking, God, sometimes you are very funny. And then I thought to myself, I've forgotten how funny God is sometimes. I've forgotten the humor that God has in all of this. You know, some of the things we implore and ask God for, I mean, for instance, Gan, you remember my talking to you about one of my adopted sons in the Philippines who's trying to get to the United States. You guys have supported this ministry. It's a mission out there. We have put him through nursing school, and he still can't get through to the United States. We believe it will happen one day. But the thing is, my friend, we're talking about this in a very heavy way, as if it were a terrible disappointment. There's something about this that's going to end up in laughter. And I say the same to you, dear friend, in regard to all your struggles. We are children of Abraham. We are children of the seed of the promise. And the seed of the promise was laughter. Why did God call that child laughter? Because he wanted Abraham and all of us to know that after all our striving and all our struggle, God brings about what we tried to bring about, and it creates laughter in our soul. You may have been struggling with alcohol. You may have been struggling with drugs. You may have been struggling with food issues and heterosexual or homosexual addiction. You may have been struggling with any number of things in your life that have brought you down, your health, your finances, and it is time. It is time, and I say this as much to myself as to you, to stop, to pause, and say, it is done. It is finished. The Lord has accomplished what I could not accomplish. accomplish. I am freed from wrath and sin and law and death. I am freed from the powers of evil, of sin. And laugh about it and have some joy about it. That doesn't mean to say, my friend, that you will not fall again. It doesn't mean to say you won't be tempted again and that you might not have years of struggle ahead. The point is that you are freed from the powers behind that struggle that make it powerful. Those powers are brought down by Jesus Christ. That's the whole point that Paul is making here. Paul is saying that this covenant did not come about by human beings and by the people of God, Israel, succeeding in keeping the law covenant. He's saying this promise came about by God being the promise keeper and doing what we could not do. And so you see, these verses here are just fascinating. And it says in verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not get. Now, I have to say to you, I'm very, very curious as to why the New King James Version puts the word not in there, because it is not in the Greek. And the King James Version also has put it in there, and it's not in the Greek. It does not say, and being weak, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. Rather, it says, and not being weak in faith, he considered his own body as good as dead, yet continued to believe, you see. And we look at our situation. Look at our defeats. Look at our lives. Look at how they have not come through as we had hoped they would. And we look at this disappointment, and we look at it carefully. We consider it. We don't deny it. We're not being in denial of this thing. Abraham looked at his body, knew it was as good as dead, yet did not grow weak in faith. And so we also, even though we have seen defeat galore, we say, Father in heaven, I thank you that the victory is won by Christ, and I will not count these powers against me anymore, and we will grow strong in our faith, friend. We're on a countdown to the seminar, my friend. Just 3 days left to the seminar to start on Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon at La Quinta Inn, exploring how we grow. Look, let me make some things a little more clear. I heard from one man, and I wonder if it's true of many, that he didn't feel like coming along because he just couldn't afford it, and he felt too embarrassed to put some, that he couldn't put anything in the, bring a donation. Now look, my friends, please come, whether you can afford a donation or not. Let me make it clear to you that nobody is going to register you at the door with a form that states what amount of donation you put in. The donating is totally anonymous. Envelopes are provided. You can put in that envelope something if you want and leave it in the box provided, or you don't do anything. Furthermore, let me make another thing clear. We don't sit in a circle all looking at each other and trying to avoid eye contact. We're all sitting at desks, facing, you know, all in rows, looking toward the front of the conference room. So it's a comfortable scenario. I want you to know those things so that you don't feel shy about coming. Furthermore, we don't identify ourselves apart from a name tag that puts your first name on it. But if you want to put a pseudonymous name, a fake name, that's just fine also. And if you don't want to wear a name tag, don't wear one. We're not going to treat you like children at this seminar. Exploring how we grow, then. That's the theme, and I look forward to seeing you at La Quinta Inn, 7190 West Hampden Avenue in Lakewood. Exploring how we grow. This coming Saturday, 9 o'clock in the morning. I'll see you there, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.